You know, the truth is that Quakers really did have a radical spirituality that spoke deeply to the people of England in the 1650s, as Ben Pink Dandelion talked about in his video. But when you think about that, we often kind of take those years out of context. And the truth is that it was a time of political, social, and religious upheaval that is not unlike what we encounter today. Kind of the political topsy-turvy things, the huge division, it's this way or it's that way, and the inability to work together, the social dilemmas that faced the people of England, from poverty to inequality, all those kinds of things that were going on, were present then in different specifics, but are so present today in our world. And then, as now, people had lost heart in religion, in its efficacy for the authentic life. Religion had seemed like it was reduced to going through the motions, and it no longer seemed to really provide answers of substance, of real truth. In fact, the struggles of George Fox are mimicked by many people today, when you think about it, that search for authenticity. A belief that there is more to life than just going through the motions. And yet, so often, we feel like we're just going through the motions and never really getting to the heart of the matter, never really getting to the real thing. And you know, I kind of like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but how do I get there? How do I live in that place that is real and authentic? So often answers that are readily given by the church just kind of ring hollow and unsatisfying. They don't speak to me, or they don't answer that deep kind of thirst that quench within. And again, I find myself caught in that trap of, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. And I kind of got to muster it up and do it without that sense of, life seeming to be authentic and real in my life. Religion doesn't seem to speak to the political and social context of the day. And in fact, it often sounds more like it's berating the current status than meeting the needs. And I think you hear that when we hear the church often speak about our world, political, social issues. It speaks against whatever is going on, rather than seeing the need and speaking to that need and meeting the need. I read a letter this week that was written to an evangelist, and said that was talking about how the church is persecuted. The church in America is persecuted. And the response was, we don't know persecution the way others know persecution. And the church today actually is not persecuted. And in fact, Jesus said that we would suffer at the hand of others that would question what we're doing and why we're doing it, and that. But in America, we do not know that kind of persecution. So often we're kind of speaking at things that, like, what? that isn't my issue, or it doesn't seem to speak to the real issues of the social and political context of our day. George Fox was determined to say that there's got to be something more than this. I once heard someone say that George Fox was the original Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, that there's no hope, life is just tough, it can't get any better, and that sense that that there has to be something else, but I don't know where to find it. I haven't figured out about it. But the thing about George Fox that we know was that he just kept looking. He didn't really ever give up. He kept looking and pursuing answers until he got to the end. He left the church of his youth, but he didn't quit asking priests and others for input. He kept searching. He searched the scriptures, and it is said that he knew many of the scriptures by heart. And there was a yearning deep within him that kept calling him to something more. There's got to be something more than this. And he just kept looking. But it's interesting to note what really disturbed him during this time and whether or not it was sin in the sense of, I am a sinner. We often think about that in our Christian journeys that we're beset by those things that we have done wrong. And for some of us, we are troubled by those things that have gotten us off. But that wasn't really what disturbed George Fox. He really felt quite free from a sense of sin and remorse, but he had this deep, deep God hunger, both for himself and for the suffering of others. Just a deep hunger within himself that he was yearning to have satisfied in a way that he didn't find it satisfied in his experiences up to them, and nor did he really see it satisfied by others around him. And also just the his sense of being distraught at the suffering that he saw around him, people that suffered greatly. The lack of answer from outside really drove him deep within searching for insights. And while he had a real sense that he had not found what he was looking for, he had openings. And I love it that the openings begin to come before his real kind of definitive encounter with God. And I think that's really so often with us. We get openings or glimpses or understandings, and we don't always quite know how to put them all together or figure out what this all means or the implications of it all. But the openings or new insights, kind of that aha, oh, that speaks to you deep in your spirit, came to him. One of them was really, what does it mean to be a Christian? And that the mark of a true believer is a changing life. You know, one of the things that Quakers really in the early days said, it wasn't membership in a church that made a difference. It was that transformed life. It's really what Carol spoke about with their struggle with marijuana and the sense of transformation that has happened. Something new. She has a new way of positioning herself with regard to that which she felt like God said, this is not for you anymore. And that transformed life was key. He also really realized that it didn't matter the denomination. Whether you were Catholic or Protestant, that didn't make a difference in whether or not you were a Christian. Now, that would have been huge in those days. I don't know that we really grapple with how big that would, because today we say, oh yeah, there's Christian Catholics and there's Christian Protestants and we get along well. But in those days, that would have been huge. That both are Christians when there's an immediacy of relationship with God. And that is here, not out there, but here. He also really grappled with what's a minister. And that a minister is one who ministers. Education at Oxford was not capable of creating a minister. That a minister is one who is gifted and is simply does the ministering, who is effective in doing it. And while we might say today that education is helpful, you can't just educate them into effectively being able to do what God gifts them to do. It is a gifting that God gives, and it is seen in the doing. One might say the proof is in the pudding. And what is the church? Well, the church is really a gathered community of folks with changing lives. It's not a building. It's not an institution. It's not this thing that we are in. Now, modern day Quakers, we often call ourselves churches, or at least in this tradition of Quakerism, we call ourselves churches. But the church is us. It's the people that have gathered to worship together. It's not this building. So early Quakers were quite strict about saying this is a steeple house if it's a building, and that we simply gather in meeting houses. And places are meeting houses, which are where we meet with God. That's why we call it a meeting house. It's a meeting with a capital M, where we meet with God. And God is present. It's like we have an appointment with each other and with God to gather in this place at this time to meet with God together. And that is really the church, that God dwells in people, not in buildings. And are the scriptures an adequate guide? And Fox said he really realized that in order for scriptures to be fully known, one must read them in the same life and spirit in which they were given forth to the original writers. And in this way, one understands them from within. That when they are as inspired to us in the reading as they were inspired in the writing, and when we understand the context and get inside of Scripture and let Scripture get inside of us, it takes on a different place of knowing other than just simply the words on a page. And that it is not simply the words on the page. It is what the Spirit does in translating that to us and speaking it to us in a way that's personal and direct, that makes all the difference in the words on the page. Well, ultimately, George Fox came to the end of his search, and when he didn't know where else to turn, he writes this in his journal. When all hope in them and in all men were gone, so that I had nothing outwardly to help me, nor could tell me what to do, then I heard a voice which said, there is one, even Christ Jesus, that can speak to thy condition. And when I heard it, my heart did leap for joy. And then the Lord did let me see why there was none upon the earth that could speak to my condition, namely, that I might give him all the glory. For all are concluded under sin and shut up in unbelief, as I had been, that Jesus Christ might have the preeminence, who enlightens and gives grace and faith and power. Thus, when God doth work, who shall prevent it? And this I knew experimentally. That he knew directly and experimentally that Christ was speaking to his condition and had something to say directly to him that spoke directly to him. Well, that led to additional openings with which the others formed the basis of Quaker understanding, with the others that came before. The first one really being, again, what is the basis of faith? And the basis of faith isn't our theology or our belief or some kind of a system that we adhere to, but the basis of faith is the first-hand acquaintance with Jesus who can speak to each person's condition. It's this direct experience with God, this direct relationship with God experimentally, in which we can know. We think of doing an experiment. You do an experiment. You get in. You see if it will work. And we do this life with God. We get in the middle of it. We are the experiment of encountering and living with God and doing this life with God. Where is the power of God in the world? And the Quakers really realized there was no separation of sacred and secular. That God is active in all of life, and the power of love overcomes the power of darkness and evil in all things. You know, Scripture talks about overcome evil with goodness, and really that it's the power of love that overcomes darkness. When he despaired at the darkness in the world, he saw this ocean of light and love that flowed over the ocean of darkness, which was great and was huge. But to see that ocean of love coming over that and being enough. And then ultimately, who is the teacher? George Fox often said, Christ has come to teach him his people himself. So the true teacher is Christ. Not priests, not creeds, not those things that we memorize that we can spout off. Even the scriptures are not our primary teacher. George Fox spoke against bibliolatry and claiming that too often the scriptures were actually given first place over Christ. That we hold this up, the word of God says, and that that's kind of our ultimate authority. And Fox would have said, along with John in the Gospel of John, actually the word is the living Christ. Jesus, who comes and speaks directly to us and lives among us and dwells with us and is here and present, is the Word. Yes, we have this written history of God's encounter with people throughout a period of time. And we delight in reading what is in Scripture, but the preeminent teacher is Christ, who is here himself. Fox deeply revered Scripture, but his primary teacher was Christ himself. And revelation and teaching are ongoing, with new insights and understandings revealed to us directly by Christ, our teacher, who is present today and forever. Thomas Kelly describes this as having passed out of subjective yearning into energizing from beyond, yet a beyond that was within. So that it moves to the subjective yearning to energizing that comes from outside somewhere, but then finding that the beyond is within us, inside of us, and it is real and it is from Christ. Or as Fox said, this I knew experimentally, or we might say experientially. Well, it was in that political, social, and religious setting that's not so different from ours that Quakerism began. And the huge Quaker discovery was that it's only a direct encounter with the living God that mattered. Quakers knew the heart of Christianity was a direct experiential relationship with Jesus. And if we had that, nothing else mattered. If we didn't have that, nothing else would satisfy. It's this direct encounter with the living God that makes everything different. It started a movement in which people gathered together to know God together and waited to hear from God directly. Christ had come to teach himself, his people himself, and that is still true. The Quaker discovery was not of a doctrine or a belief, but of a life filled with God, a life that is dwelling among us, a life that is full of power and grace and the glory of God that lives within each of us today and every day, and yearns to be set free on a moment-by-moment basis. A life that is listening to God directly and following the leadings that come. This discovery wasn't actually a discovery was actually just a rediscovery of the life, power, and fellowship of the early church. Quakers read in Scripture and said, that is what we want. That we see there, that comes alive on the pages. That's the kind of relationship that God desires to have. The power and the freedom that is leashed among the people of the New Testament, the early church. That same power is available today. And they believed that it could happen to them. They didn't start out to create a denomination. They simply wanted to call people in the Church of England, the Puritans, the people around them back to this New Testament kind of Christianity that they saw then. Back to the truth of knowing God directly and letting Christ be our teacher. But today we have a denomination with a denominational structure, an institutional structure that is around us. And often we're more consumed by the order of the church structure and the theology than we are by the life and nurturing the life of God's presence among us. It's easy to get wrapped up in what is right and what is wrong and what do we need to do and how to control it and how to order this life so that it is contained and looks right, rather than recognizing that there's a certain amount of chaos and freedom and explosion in the presence of God that we dare not contain. We do want it to pop up 50 yards next door in the neighbor's heart. Not all of our struggles, yes. But the life of God cannot be contained and ordered within a building, within an institution, not even within a yearly meeting or a Quaker institution. It is a life that is beyond this ordered kind of thing. Have we forgotten our roots? Have we have forgotten the stories of the New Testament and the power of what God is doing there? Because that very same God is still speaking today. That very same God is giving out the same message with the same kind of power and glory and transforming grace among us today. And we are just as good a recipients of that as George Fox and Margaret Fell and all of the other Quakers in England in that day way back then. Christ has come today to speak to his people. And Christ is not limited by what we always thought that we always knew the way it always was, or by any of our understandings of what that should look like. And it is the same authentic spirituality that our culture is hungry for today. You hear it all the time. I want authentic relationship. I don't trust the church. They just give plastic answers that don't speak to me and to where I am. This yearning for something that is real, something that is tangible. It's what the culture is yearning for today. But the truth is, they've written off the church. Just as much as they had written off the church in Fox's day. But it didn't stop God from empowering George Fox to speak truth in that setting. And it doesn't stop God from speaking truth to us and freeing us to live out the word, the message that God has given us in our day. But the world needs us to live into the truth and power of our Quaker discovery. It's not a thing to just keep silent. It's not a thing to just do when we come in the confines of the church and in this building and we kind of talk among each other and oh yeah, we know God. Oh yeah, we know God. And then we go out and are no longer living it out. It's a thing to be lived out every day, 24/7, wherever we are, wherever we go. Now that isn't to say that I have some prescription about how that has to be. That's a living out, a letting God be so real in you that there is a sense of freedom in letting God just be in you, and you will then flow with that in ways that you can't necessarily figure out how you're going to do it. Most of us don't know exactly how we're going to say or what we're going to say when we encounter someone, but to allow God to be present in us. In fact, Scripture even says, when you don't know what to say, God will give you the words. And we can trust that. Sometimes it's just being silent. But living that out with our actions. Actions can be powerful. But the world needs to see us in action. And needs us to live boldly into the truth of our experience of Christ, our present teacher. There is power and life in the transforming grace of God when we live it out without reservation. When we say, okay, I'm going to be willing to be willing to do whatever it is that God is saying. And as we live into the truth of that, we are enough. We're enough to do everything that God is calling us today to do. We don't have to muster up more. We simply have to be true to the life of Christ within us, to the present teacher, the living Christ who dwells within and speaks through us. Let's wait in open worship as we listen to Christ who is present and Christ who is speaking.